Good morning, church. It is a privilege for me to share God's word this morning with you. Before you express any reaction to my new look, let me tell you something. Letting my beard grow, it wasn't my idea. It was Roxy's idea. So she says that it suits me. So I have to believe that. I don't have choice. As you all know, women are always right. And men are never wrong. That's called damage control. Speaking about who is right, I came across this quote a while ago. It says, if a man says something in the woods and there is not a woman to hear it, is he still wrong? I don't know, but I have the feeling that I'm already disturbing the peace of your homes, so I think it's better if we pray together, and I will ask you to calm down. There is no reason to dispute who is right and who is not, and so let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We thank you for the opportunity that we have of sharing your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us during this time, and that we will learn something that we can bring to our lives and bless those who we love, and bless those in our community. Father, we pray for your direction during this time. Amen. The title of my message is Living Out Our Hope in a World That Rejects Us. And let me start by asking you, are you afraid of rejection? I believe we all are afraid of rejection. We want to be likable. We want to adapt and feel that we belong to those groups to whom we interact with. Rejection has the potential to damage our lives. Rejection can lead us to question our self-esteem, lead us to depression, anxiety. We will give up on things. Giving up can become our commonplace. Even though rejection doesn't always lead to violence, it is painful. The simple act of being ignored can make us suffer. We struggle with frustration, anger, and uncertainty. But how do we react when we are facing rejection will determine the outcome. If we learn how to deal with rejection, it will become a positive experience that will end helping us to accomplish our purpose in life. Today, I will talk about three biblical principles that will make us to push through the difficult times of rejection and bring glory to God. Our text for today is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. And I will start by reading verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. And we will start reading in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. I will read it again. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. So the first principle that we can see here It is, don't be surprised. We need to be aware. Why will you be rejected for being a Christian? It's a question that we need to answer to understand this principle. And let me start with an analogy that may help us to answer this question. When my family and I, when we immigrated to Canada almost 16 years ago, I thought that the only differences we will encounter between us and Canadian people will be the language and the physical characteristics that we have. We all share the same needs. Eating, drinking, shelter, showing affection, procreation. But I was far away from the truth, because even though we share the same needs, we use different ways to meet those needs. The way that we approach those needs is different. The way that we behave around those needs is not the same. If I am not able to read those differences, then my process of adaptation to this culture will delay. I will feel rejected. I will suffer thinking that I don't belong to this land. Canadians may consider that I behave, that the way that I behave is wrong, because something that is normal in Costa Rica may be considered bizarre or even immoral in this culture. And I will give you a couple of examples that it will help me to explain what I'm trying to say. In Costa Rica, if someone invites me to a party and it happened that the only person that I know is the person who is hosting. And, you know, I come and I start, you know, meeting people. I introduce myself and have, you know, nice conversations. And when the time to leave comes, I decide to kiss every single woman that was there just to say goodbye. People in Costa Rica will take that as a, you know, normal. It's not that everybody will do something like that, but it won't take people by surprise. People will understand that people in Costa Rica used to say goodbye, even though if you don't know the people very well, by kissing in the cheek. If I do something like that here in Canada, can you imagine what the reaction will be? At first, people may think, you know, this is something different. And then they will move and said, I think it's weird. And then we end saying, you know, this is not weird, this is not different, this is wrong. Because that's the way it is in Costa Rica, but that's not the way that it is here, and people may not know that. Second example that I want to share with you, in Costa Rica, when I use the public transit service, If a woman get into the bus, I will stand up and give my seat to her. No matter her age, if he looks healthy or not, I will do that. And that's very common there. But I learned that in Canada, that can be taken in a different way. Women can take that as I am saying, you know, you're weak, I'm strong, and at least that's what I learned when I came. You may have a different opinion on that, but that's what I learned when I came here. So I learned that I shouldn't do that because I can be in troubles if I try to be, gentle or show some courtesy to women in that way. Sometimes when you go to a supermarket, you will see some immigrants having phone conversations with a very loud voice. And that's not very common here. You know, people in Canada can, you know, take that as a, you are being rude because, you know, they are shopping in the supermarket and they want a quiet environment. But in your culture, that's not seeing like you being rude. It's just you're having, you know, a conversation and then you're being loud and nobody care about it. So as you can see, there are a lot of differences between cultures, and if you don't know about them, then you will suffer rejection. You will feel that you don't belong to that place. As Christians, regardless of our origin, we face the same challenge because we all are foreigners in this world. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. So as an immigrant here in Canada, I was, or I'm still learning how to make changes to the way that I do things in order to fit here. But the question would be, can I do the same things that I do in terms of culture? Could I do the same things for the, in the things that belong to the Spirit to avoid rejection? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It seems that I cannot do that, because the things of the Spirit and the things of the world are not just different. They are in conflict with each other. Truth is not considering absolute in this world. Truth can change depending on time, place, and circumstances. For us, there is only one truth, and it doesn't change. The world believes in different theories about the origins of life. We believe in divine creation. The world believes everything we have is the result of luck or our own efforts. We believe everything we have comes from God. The world manages their sexuality based on feelings. We follow God's design. The concept of love, mercy, obedience, fidelity, commitment are totally different. We walk towards living a righteous life, the world towards pleasure. As you see, there is a conflict between the Spirit and the world. So there is no way that I can say I will basically change things in my life to avoid rejection, because I don't want to be seen as weird or different, or the things that I'm doing are wrong, the things that belongs to the Spirit. So don't be surprised that people will think we are different, that we are weird or even wrong, and that we will suffer rejection. We need to be aware about that. The second principle, it is found in verse 13 to 18 of our passage of this morning. And I will start by reading from 13 to 19, to 18, sorry. "But rejoice that participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you hear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? If as a Christian you think you are not experiencing rejection, there is a possibility that your fear is making you to run away from those situations where your Christian values will be exposed to others. In other words, the only person who knows that you are Christian is you. So the second principle is that we don't run away from rejection. We need to face rejection. We need to understand rejection. When I asked Roxy to go out with me the first time, I remember that I felt that rejection was in the air. So what I did is I asked her in a way that she doesn't have, you know, the opportunity to reject me. So what I asked was, what would you say if I ask you to go out with me? So trying to keep it safe. And she gave me this response. I don't know. You are not asking. Boom. A life lesson for me. How can I know? How can I accomplish something in life if the fear of being rejected makes me step back? The fear of rejection will keep you away from the opportunities of sharing Christ's love, even when rejection is not there. We will find the perfect excuse. We will build in our minds the outcome, and we will run away from this situation with an empty hands. Sometimes rejection is not there, but our fear will push us to run away. I remember this young man that was in Costa Rica in this arena where they, I don't know exactly how do you call that in English. You don't have that here, but they have them in Spain, but it's a little bit different. What happened is by, you know, part of the celebration of the end of the year, in San Jose, they have this arena with the stands, and then they will let a bull to come into the arena, and many young men will be there running from the bull. They won't harm the bull, but they basically the bull will harm them, but they will run away from the bull. The bull will be there, and people are just, you know, trying to make the bull to cut the bull attention so that the bull will follow them, and so that's fun for them. I don't see any fun on that, but that's fun for them. And this young man was in the arena, and he was in the totally opposite way where the bull was. So if you are in the arena, you don't have a good perspective of where the bull is, because the only thing that you see is people there. So when the people move, you may think, okay, the bull may be coming. So this guy was in the other side, very far away from the bull. Every time that the people move, this guy run to the fence and jump, just looking for protection. But the reality was that the bull wasn't coming. And so he was doing that for a while, and in one of the times that he did that, the people moved, and he thought that the bull was coming after him. He just ran, he jumped, and he ended with about 3 or 4, how do you call it, risk? Broken? His risk? Ribs. Sorry, ribs broken. Thank you, Pastor Bonnie. You see, that happens in life sometimes. You know, we are afraid about rejection that there's times that rejection is not even there, and we just run away. Running away from rejection will take you away from your purpose, from the things God prepares for you. You will miss the opportunity to make a difference in this world. We deny Christ when we hide who we are. Remember Peter, when people were telling him that he was with Jesus? He denied that he was with Jesus. And that happens sometimes with us. You know, when you are trying to hide that you are a Christian, when someone makes a comment and you know the truth and you don't say anything because you don't want to be rejected, even though the Holy Spirit is pushing you to say something or prompting you to say something and you don't say anything, in a certain way, you're basically denying Jesus. You are hiding. If I am talking with someone about things I have accomplished in life, I don't mention him as the one who made all things possible in my life, it's because I fear rejection. And there is a contradiction between what I believe and what I do. Hiding from rejection will keep you with a bunch of no in your pocket. You will never go for the yes. You will keep the no's in your pockets. You may initiate a lot of projects, but never take them to the end. Because when you spot rejection from a distance, you will give up your efforts. God will use those trials to bring understanding, to build our character. I was having supper with my family last weekend, and then someone knocked at our door. So I basically changed my mood so we were having a good time, and then I just, you know, have the Canadian reaction. Because in Costa Rica, everybody knocks at your door and you are not surprised. But in here, you know, oh, someone is knocking. Well, now with Amazon, you will say it's probably Amazon. But we're still, you know, surprised that someone comes to our door. And I opened the door and there was this man, very polite, very kind in the way that he talks. And he introduced himself to me. And what he says is, you know, that he was concerned about this COVID-19, that he lives very close to our home, and he was just checking on people and see if everything is okay, how are we doing. And he happened to attend a Pentecostal church, and he gave me, you know, some brochures. And you know, when... I have to be honest with you, before I opened the door, I just, you know, took my rejection mask, you know, because I thought it's probably someone selling something. And sometimes, you know, I don't have to put any excuse. I don't have to do that, but I opened the door just trying to let the person know, you know, we're having supper. But this man, he knows that rejection is there, that every time that he knocks at any door, rejection is waiting for him. But that's not something that it will make him run away. He will face it because he understands, because he's facing rejection. So every time that rejection comes, he learns something. He's becoming stronger and stronger because the Holy Spirit is helping him to understand that rejection doesn't mean that your purpose is done. It's the opposite. Your purpose in life is being built You are walking towards your purpose because you are facing rejection. You don't need to feel ashamed. You are not stealing or causing harm to anyone. There is nothing to be ashamed of it. The things you should be ashamed were already thrown away in the Calvary when Christ died for our sins. The third principle that I want to share with you, I believe, is found in the last verse of our passage for this morning. It's verse 19, and says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." You may say, you know, Harrison, it is easy to be aware of rejection and don't run away. It is easy to say that. But it's a different story when you are there facing that. I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but there is a phrase that it is used in Costa Rica that says, it is not the same to look her come than dance with her or talk with her. So that means that you are a young man and you are interested in a woman, so it's not the same thing to see her coming than actually take the step and talk to her. And you may think that this is a case like that. You know, it is not easy to, you know, run away when rejection is in front of us, because it is painful. But then is when the last principle take over here, and that is faith. The Bible says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So the world is not bigger than God, and He is with you. A beautiful example of this is the story of Moses. The Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. That will be the easy way for him. Privilege, pleasure everywhere. No need to, you know, trying to adapt to the group. You're already there. But decide to go with his people and be mistreated is different. He decided to go by faith and made that step. He knew that he would be rejected, but he took that decision. Faith will make you see things that otherwise you won't. You will feel the presence of the Lord with you. I want to end by saying that in this verse 19, there is a plus here at the end that says, continue to do good. Even though we are in the world that is in conflict to our values as Christians, to our beliefs, we are not being called to build walls between us and the world. We have been called to build bridges. We have been called to do good, because when you are facing rejection, if you are not clear about what rejection is, if you are not clear that as a Christian you will be rejected, if you are not clear that you need to face rejection, and it will be an opportunity for you to grow during those times, if you don't have that faith to make that step forward, it is very easy to react in a different way, in a wrong way, anger, frustration. But God is telling us that we need to continue doing good, even when we are being rejected. I remember two men in my life when I was away from God, that they were Christians. They professed to be Christian. One was a young man. And I remember that I had an interaction with him. I was invited to play soccer with the people of this church. And in Costa Rica, there is a Costa Rican way to refer to someone. We will use the word "my." And that's a very popular way. It comes from the word "mahe," that means dumb, do, but it's more dumb than anything else. So we in Costa Rica make it short, and we say "my." So it's not an insult, but it's very common that people will use it. And some Christians, they basically think that it's not good to call each other "my." And I'm okay with that. But I remember at that time that I was invited to this church to play soccer, and I was playing, and I called one of the members of the church "my." And he was very upset. He turns to me and he said, "Don't call me "my." That was one experience that I had. There was a wall right there. I remember this other gentleman that he used to work in Central Bank, and he knew Christ during his time working in the bank, in Central Bank. So people knew him before Christ and after Christ. So, and I remember that we used to tease him, making jokes about the phrases that he said before he was a Christian, just to bring those things that he used to say and do. And I don't remember seeing this guy upset about it. He always had an answer to us, and he was very gentle with a smile. And there you have two different reactions. One trying to build bridges, and one putting walls because we are in conflict with the world. So remember that. We need to acknowledge that rejection will be there. We need to know that we don't have to run away from rejection. We need to know that faith is important. Faith will give us the strength, the confidence to keep walking and not run away from those situations. And we also know that we need to keep doing good. To conclude, I just want to invite you to think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes a difference in this world because suffering never took him by surprise. He never ran away from rejection. And he put his trust in the Father and always did good to all, including those who rejected him. If our Lord Jesus Christ were happened to decide to run away from rejection, there were no such a thing of salvation, no such a thing of eternal life. You and me will be saying, "Let's eat and drink, because tomorrow we will die." Be like him. Don't let the fear of rejection to keep you away from fulfilling God's purpose. God bless you.
Thank you, Harrison, for that word from Scripture, from God. And thank you also for choosing this last song, Whom Shall I Fear? The God of Angel Armies.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. The whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. Behind, the God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. Well, we've been waiting a long time for this exciting announcement, and it really is an exciting announcement. Thank you for waiting till the end of the service. Any guesses as to what that announcement might be?
I get to fly to the Maritimes?
No. Anyway, our announcement is we are relaunching our in-person worship service on Sunday, July 5th. Very exciting time to get back together as a church family. We're going to be taking a couple weeks just to get things ready for you, to follow the AHS guidelines. And we will also be having two services, one at 9 and one at 11 a.m. So you get a choice of which service you would like to attend. Let's close now with a benediction. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen.